morning. We'll call the Sussex County Council meeting of May 13th, 2014 to order. First thing will be approve the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, Council. I have one amendment to recommend today. We can strike executive session, job applicants, qualifications, and personnel, and possible action on executive session items.
Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended. Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Culp.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. We had the minutes of May 6th. Any corrections, concerns? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, Mr. President. We have two letters. The first is from the Delmarva Council of Boy Scouts of America, thanking Council for their contribution. And then we have from another group, and I apologize if I do not pronounce this correctly. It appears to be the Kena Inc. Empowerment Center, and again, thanking the Council for donation for food for their pantry.
Any correspondence from Council?
I thank you.
Mrs. Deaver.
From Delaware Tech Community College, thanking us for our generous donation. The Sussex County Council gift has been designated as a $1,000 community grant to support our Kids on Campus program. Your support of Dell Tech and our students is greatly appreciated. It will support students ages 3 through 16 years old in a variety of topics, such as art, science, sports, fitness, culinary, academics, technology, environment, and career exploration. It'll also allow more low to moderate income students to experience benefits of a summer camp while connecting them to Dell Tech as a future provider for post-secondary education.
Anything else from Council? Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first item of business this morning is a presentation. We're joined by members of the American Legion Post 28 Auxiliary, who is going to present the memorial poppy. Please come forward and welcome.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Pauline Law, and I'm the American Legion Poppy Chairman for Unit 28 in Millsboro, Delaware.
28.
And I'm very happy to be here to present this. I met with Miss Poppy today, and that's our young lady right behind me.
There she is.
And she will be giving each of you a poppy. Our poppy program is very important because it helps us to help our veterans who are disabled and their families when they need the help. So we distribute poppies and solicit donations for the poppy in order to continue the program. It is such a little flower, but it is handmade by our veterans. As you can see, we try to wear them the whole month of May and thereafter. And I'm hoping that you will all do the same thing. This is Miss Parks. Her first name is Paris. She's a 14-year-old student here in our area. And
good morning.
If anyone in the audience would like to donate for a poppy, we would be happy to collect the donation. Thank you very much.
And thank you very much. I think Mr. Cole has a check for you.
We have a donation for you.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Cole.
We'll call him Mr. Poppy.
I'll call him Mr. Poppy.
His grandkids do and everybody else.
Right? Thank you very
but
much.
But anyway, we're thrilled to give this to you. We do it every year.
Thank you.
And do the best you can with it.
We will do the best. Thank you
very
much.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
They want to turn around here.
Oh, make sure Mr. Cole and Mr. Slot out of the way.
Paris?
Get here, Miss Poppy.
Yeah, get Miss Poppy.
We'll leave you out.
Now, see, George.
What's it?
He wants on camera. George.
Mr. Poppy.
A picture in the paper. That's good. That's nice. He must be running for something.
Oh, my. Another one.
Thank you. All right,
have a good
day. Thank
you very much, ladies. Thank you.
Thank you for the work you do. I have
no idea. Now get those veterans to care in those hospitals. Can't do that. I know.
You're a good man.
Thank you, sir. We're waiting, Todd, on
They're waiting on me.
They're waiting. Oh, here she comes. Is it?
Oh, okay.
I don't know what to do here.
Kelly's not here, is she?
Mr. President, the next item is a proclamation for Community Action Month, and I'm being told that's being printed. Maybe we could we delay that for a few minutes and have that come out, and I can go to the administrator's report and perhaps
please,
Mr.
Please
Moore.
Do, sir.
Thank you. Okay, the administrator's report for May 13, 2014, item number one. The Advisory Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities for Sussex County will meet May 19 at 10 a.m. at the Sussex County West Administrative Complex, 22215 North DuPont Boulevard in Georgetown. Amber V. Woodland, Esquire, will be speaking on estate planning. The Advisory Committee's Conference Planning Subcommittee will also meet May 19 at 11:30 at the West Complex. A copy of the agenda for both meetings is attached. And item number two, attached, please find the cost statistics for fire and ambulance call board for March and April 2014. There were 29,045 total calls handled in the months of March and April. Of those calls, 77% and 78% respectively were made from wireless phones. And that is all, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Let's go to Mr. Moore.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. I have a memo that I'm passing down for each of the council members. And as that's being passed down, I was asked to kind of give a recap. And what I've prepared today is a short memo. It is not an attempt to be a scholarly work on a dissertation on Supreme Court and federal law, but instead to try to put this recent case in perspective and in lay terms. And I was asked to discuss the decision and effect the decision has on the consent order entered in Mullen et al. Versus Sussex County, Delaware et al., dated September 12, 2012. First, I believe it's important to discuss how cases are decided in appellate courts. The courts examine the record below, meaning the decision of the lower court, to determine if there is an error in the lower court's application of the law. In making that determination, they often go into great detail concerning the specific facts of that case and discuss how they are or are not consistent with current case law. There is often a detailed discussion of relevant cases and a comparison with or a distinction from the facts of those cases. The decisions are very fact-specific. Number one, in the current case, Town of Greece, New York versus Galloway et al., the town opened its meetings with prayer. There was not one specific prayer ever meeting, as was the case in Sussex County. Instead, in the Greece case, local clergy were invited to give the invocation prior to the meeting. The town clerk went through the directory and called local clergy until the clerk found someone available. Later, a list was compiled listing those who agreed to volunteer to say the prayers at future meetings. The court went on to point out that they at no point excluded or denied an opportunity to a would-be prayer giver. Its leaders maintained that a minister or layperson of any persuasion, including an atheist, could give the invocation. But nearly all the congregations in town were Christian, and from 1999 to 2007, all of the participating ministers were too. After respondents complained that Christian themes pervaded the prayers to the exclusion of citizens who do not share these beliefs, the town invited a Jewish layman and the chairman of the local temple to deliver prayers. A Wiccan priestess who had read press reports about the prayer controversy requested and was granted an opportunity to give the invocation. Thus, it was clear that the town was open and non-exclusive in allowing other faiths to participate. In arriving at its decision, the court stated the following. Number one, that legislative prayer, even though religious in nature, has long been understood as compatible with the Establishment Clause. Number two, that the town did not review any of the prayers, and that's important because the town should not censor speech. The court clearly indicated that it did not want legislative bodies reviewing prayers for content. Number three, that the town was open to all prayers, even atheists and Wiccan. Four, the court went on to state, absent a pattern of prayers that over time denigrate, proselytize, or betray an impermissible government purpose, a challenge based solely on the content of a particular prayer will not likely establish a constitutional violation. Finally, so long as the town maintains a policy of non-discrimination, the Constitution does not require it to search beyond its borders for non-Christian prayer givers in an effort to achieve religious balancing. Number five, the court also stated that its purposes are to lend gravity to public proceedings and to acknowledge the place religion holds in the lives of many citizens. Furthermore, the principal audience for these invocations is not the public, but the lawmakers themselves. And those lawmakers did not direct the public to participate, single out dissidents for opprobrium. And you can tell that's a direct quote, because that's not a word the Sussex Countyan would have ever used, or indicate their decisions might be influenced by a person's acquiescence in the prayer opportunity. All of this is very important because it indicated that prayer is permissible within the parameters set forth in this case. Next, let's examine and apologize for the typo. It should be examined, how this affects Sussex County. Number one, the court decision reads as follows. The town of Greece does not violate the First Amendment by opening its meetings with prayer that comports with our tradition and does not coerce participation by non-adherents. A judgment of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit is reversed. It is so ordered. And I put that in for a very specific purpose. That shows that it's specific to this case and to the facts of this case. It says the town of Greece does not violate the First Amendment by opening its prayers, and it says the decision of the courts below, that court decision is reversed. It is so ordered. Two, though the Supreme Court affirms the right to have prayers in legislative cases, the Sussex County case was different in that the same prayer was given each week. Three, the council did enter into a consent order that did allow the council to continue its tradition of prayers before meetings. As such, if we change our practice, we do need to seek the court's permission. Four, the first step for council is to decide if the body wants to change the prayer that it is currently using. Five, if the council as a body decides that it does want to ask the court for relief from its consent order, then the council needs to decide what kind of relief to ask for. If so, I would recommend that Scott Shannon Esquire, the firm of Marshall, Dennehy, Warner, Coleman, and Goggin be part of these strategy sessions. And as you recall, he was the attorney and lead counsel in this litigation. And that kind of concludes my summary, Mr. President, of the status and kind of an explanation of the Town of Greece case and how that relates as to our case.
Thank you, sir. Any questions, Mr. Moore?
I do.
Mr. Phillips.
Mr. Moore, when was the prayers given at the Town of Greece?
They were given at the beginning of the meeting in the ceremonial portion as ours are given, and the court felt that was very important because it was given in that ceremonial portion of the meetings before there was any, wasn't in the meat of the building, or meeting, so to speak.
We had a 30, 40 year tradition of the Lord's Prayer. Was that ever recited at Greece?
I'm not sure. I've looked through a lot of the prayers, and many of the prayers were very decidedly Christian in nature, and some of them were very specific in invoking the name of Jesus Christ. And during that period of time, the court said it was important that the town of Greece did not look specifically into the content of those prayers because it did not tend to censor, and they did not want the legislative body actually going into and looking at the specific prayers themselves. I did not see a case in looking through the ones recited in the court that were the Lord's Prayer, but they were definitely Christian in nature.
And I know you've probably been searching the net what's being said out there from credible bodies such as, Heritage Foundation or those other Cato Institute?
Yes, Mr. Phillips, I have. And when I was putting together the memo, in addition to reading this case many, many times, I also did have conversations with Scott Shannon, since he had been the lead counsel in our case, and also looked at the web postings of different groups, including the Americans United, which was one of the groups that funded the our opposition in that case, and the Beckett Fund. And in those, it's clear that the case is very specific to its facts, and we have to be careful if there is any change in our practice to follow the guidelines that this court did. And even in the Americans United, they stated on their website that it's very important that if there is a decision to have prayers at any meetings, that they cannot denigrate other faiths, threaten others with damnation, or seek converts, and local officials may not direct prayers or compel people to take part, and that prayers may not be integrated into the policy-making periods of governmental meetings. And again, as I'd indicated from my search, the Beckett Fund indicated, too, that people need to be careful in reading that and not think that it's just a too far of reaching case, that you have to look at it in the specifics that were given in this case and kind of negotiate what was said by that case.
One last thing. Do you sure. know if the court allowed, I guess it would be the town of Greece, to recover any of their costs, attorney fees from the Citizens United?
I do not know that. I did not look at that, Mr. Phillips.
Thank you.
Any more questions, Mr. Moore?
I believe that the
Wilson.
I believe this has already been practiced. I believe that they're already praying. I've been to Legislative Hall. They pray up there. They pray whatever prayer they want to. Whoever's leading the prayer can say it in Jesus' name or whatever he wants to say. They've been practicing that for years. I go to school board meetings, and after school board has been open, they pray and allow and ask someone who wants to come forward can pray. And you can say in the same prayer. I don't know if you can say the same prayer. Nobody's ever said I couldn't say that. And it seems like this is the only body right now that's not permitted to do this. And it kind of irritates me a little bit. Well, this last line here, it says that we got to seek relief from the court. When the court, my opinion, this is my opinion, when I, as a layman, what I, a little bit I know, I always think when I go all the way to the top, from what little time I served in the military, if the general says it, you just might as well forget what the captain said, or major, or whoever, or lieutenant colonel, if you want to. If the general says it, that's the end of it. And as far as I'm concerned, when I look at this court, this is the general. The general has handed down word that we have the right to pray, and we don't need to go back and beg any difference for these guys down here below us that actually decided against us, in a sense speaking.
Mr. Moore, any comment on that?
Yes, and that's why I put the court order, the one part in, and it said the Supreme Court decided the town of Greece case based upon the facts in the town of Greece case, not every case. It did not state that everybody could do certain things. They looked at the facts in the town of Greece case and were very specific as to that case. Now, what it did do, and which I thought was very good, it really gave a lot of guidance that is good for legislative bodies to look at, you know, to make sure that you're inclusive in allowing everybody to have an opportunity to participate in the prayers. If you were having, if you were opening it up, you couldn't say certain groups aren't allowed to pray. So it does give guidelines, which is very good. And as Mr. Wilson stated, that came from the top. That came from the Supreme Court, stating that there are those certain circumstances that prayer is permissible. And it did state that under the Establishment Clause that you are allowed to have legislative prayers and that they're allowed to proceed in a certain manner.
Thank you, sir.
Well, we're not even proselyting. We don't have any specific says you either pray this or we're not even out here trying to tell you that you must join in with us. If they don't feel like praying, the audience don't want to pray, that's their business. I thought we're pretty legal as far as the court order that's been sent down. May not be according to this old one, I understand, but the new one, I think we'd be in line to go ahead and say the Lord's Prayer or ask someone to come up and pray if they want to. I don't see any holdback. I think it's rare. I guess is the question.
I have no idea. No word I know of, but whatever the council wants to do.
Is it appropriate, since this is part of the past litigation, that we discuss in executive session where we go from here?
If the body decides as a body that they wanted to amend the court order and seek relief from that court order, at that point, since it is part of a court order and you would be seeking relief from the court order, I believe that would be a permissible to discuss the strategy of how to do that. However, if you did that, then it was very important that you vote in open session following that on, yes, this is how we, and make your decision how you would go. It has to be an open session. But as far as discussing strategies on the change of the or asking for relief from the court, I believe that that would be permissible for that very limited purpose, yes.
Well, I think there is sentiment on the council to at least consider asking relief from the consent agreement. Is it something we could do in today's executive session?
The agenda has been amended and there's no executive session today.
Are you speaking for the whole council? Are you speaking for the whole council, Mr. Phillips?
No, sir. Majority.
He's asking a question about could it be on an agenda item for...
I think he said the whole council wants such and such a thing.
No, he did not say that.
Okay, maybe I should get my hearing checked.
Well, I didn't think he said that.
He wouldn't speak for you, Joe. We know that.
So it had been a future agenda could be on under executive session.
And even as it was before it was amended, a litigation was not on here, so it would not have been permissible to discuss today anyhow. But it was amended and all executive
right.
session
right, I was just
taken
hearing
off.
That there was a consensus of, by the council.
I think
county.
The word was asked, council. There might be some sentiment.
Okay, I understand.
If we could put that on for next week's executive session, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mr. Cole wants it next.
When I read this, folks, I think that number two on that last page of Everett's comments here, he says, the difference was that we were given the same prayer each week. Now, we are actually currently doing that again. But we're doing it under a consent order, which means we've had permission to do that, in my opinion, right? So my feeling is I'm comfortable with what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We're still saying the prayer. We're saying one, even though it is consistent. But I don't know if I want to get back into this, you know, chasing the tail where we go and ask. I mean, we just had a conference basically in public here with Mr. Moore. And anyway, but the cost again associated with going back and finding out what we want to do, and then we don't have any plan. I mean, we could find out, Vance, but do we, what would we be considering to do if we get relief? What is the end result of relief? Or just can we ask for relief? Sure, you can ask for relief. You can ask for appeals for anything we do here. So, but what's the game plan is what I'm trying to say. And as of right now, I see no game plan. I think what we've got is good, and I'm comfortable with it. But I'm tired of spending money on this issue unless somebody comes up and says you're saying the same prayer again. You're in trouble again. We're taking you to court for this issue. So, I see a difference. I just see that what Everett said was this case was unique to that council. They had a variety of people coming in saying prayers. When you go to legislative hall, it's a variety of people saying different prayers. When you go to many of these legislative bodies, it's a variety. We were saying the same one, and that's where I think we possibly crossed the line with some people. Anyway, I'm just fine with what we got.
One thing I don't quite understand, you keep talking about money. It doesn't say a thing about it. It's going to cost us one dime. Not one dime.
No, Sam, as soon as we call in the lawyer, the next general above this general.
Then maybe we should.
It gets expensive again. These guys, they charge quite a bit by the hour, and then they're going to do research, and then we'll have a huge legal bill.
Let Mr. Wilson have the floor, please. Right. Mr. Wilson.
I believe this is not costing a dime, and I kind of think that we should have more of a right here. I mean, after all, the Supreme Court has made a ruling here, and why should we bow down to the lower court? Why should we, George?
I'm not bowing down.
What's wrong with the Lord's Prayer?
Sam, what's wrong with the 23rd Psalm?
Well, why is that?
Why do we have to be? I think they both send a good message.
Must be something wrong with it. They had to change it, and you don't want to go back to it.
We're going to.
Could I just ask a question? Help me understand. Did you say anything or hint at anything about what you think our chances might be?
I did not discuss what I thought your chances would be because, I think that would be very fact specific as to what you proposed, and I think that it would be very important to be careful. And if you propose changing what it is now, make sure that it follows the guidelines that was set forth with the Supreme Court.
So that we have to first get out from under the consent order, correct?
And that's what you would ask. You would ask the court, there is a current consent order, you would ask for relief from that consent order and indicate that here is the way that either total relief from the order or relief from the specific portion that we will say the 23rd Psalm each week, and that we may substitute in the following fashion and make sure that as part of that, that you have that laid forth in a way that would be consistent with the Supreme Court's decision.
Right, but Town of Greece is not the same as Sussex County, if I understand. And the Supreme Court's decision was very narrow, if I'm trying to understand all this legal.
When I say narrow, what I'm really referring to is not as narrow as what I'm trying to say. It's very fact-specific. They looked at the facts in that case, and they looked at it, and they said, okay, because of the facts in that case and what the Town of Greece did, that it did not violate the Establishment Clause. And so, but they did give some guidance in going forward on what kind of prayers would not violate the Establishment Clause. We would want to be careful if we came up with different prayers to make sure that we followed those guidelines that were in that case.
And so we'd have to come up with a whole new plan.
Yes, as part of the relief, when you go to ask for relief, you need to tell the courts what kind of relief, what kind of plan there would be.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Cole?
Mr. President, if we talk about this then next week, my suggestion is that we just, again, have a strategy session with our current legal advisor and not bring in anybody outside. Find out what is there a plan that the county or some of the individuals are thinking about? When you ask for relief, what are you asking for? You got to ask for something. You just can't go in and say, I want relief. So I'd love to hear something about what is being proposed and have a strategy session just amongst ourselves with our staff. I'm not willing, again, to start bringing in these outside attorneys, telling us all this thing and spending hours and hours of their time and spending the taxpayers' money at this point. Let's just have a strategy session amongst ourselves and see what the plan, if there is a plan at our level, what we are considering or what some of the people are considering, and hash that out before I'm willing to, like I said, start bringing in, other people.
Mr. Phillips.
So I haven't heard anything yet other than we want relief.
Phillips.
I agree. We've got to be careful about spending much money on this. We had pro bono services offered to us, and we utilized them during the first go-round from the Beckett Fund. I would suggest that the administrator could reach out to them and see if they would extend that pro bono advice. It was very good the first time. I think the Alliance for Liberty is another organization that has local representatives who could provide pro bono advice. If we do need Mr. Shannon, maybe we could just get him on the phone, but to tie him up for an entire day at $400 an hour, I agree with Mr. Cole, we probably could do better with the taxpayer dollars.
Anything else from council? Okay, Mr. Lawson, back to you and our proclamation.
Thank you, sir. and thank you for your patience. I have a proclamation today proclaiming the month of May as the Community Action Month. Whereas community action agencies were created when the Economic Opportunity Act of 1964 was signed into law, and First State Community Action has more than a 49-year history of promoting self-sufficiency for the limited income. And First State Community Action has made an essential contribution to individuals and families in Delaware by providing them with innovative and cost-effective programs. And welfare reform in Delaware has benefited from the state's partnership with First State Community Action, and the limited income continue to need opportunities to improve their lives and their living conditions, thus ensuring that all citizens are able to live in dignity. And Delaware and the entire United States must continue to wage war on poverty by providing support and opportunities for all citizens in need of assistance. Now, therefore, the Sussex County Council does proclaim May 2014 as Community Action Month in recognition of the hard work and dedication of First State Community Action. Signed, Michael H. Vincent, President, Sussex County Council. And we are joined today by representatives from First State Community Action. Please come on down.
Come right down here, young lady. How are you?
She's very busy.
Good to see you. Thank you for all you do. Appreciate that very much. Well, Kanisha, get your picture here so you Thank you all very much. And if you want to say a few words, I'll help yourself.
Good morning. I just want to say to Sussex County Council, who is one of our most dedicated partners here in Sussex County, and again, thank you for all that you do to help us with the residents here in Sussex County make a difference in the lives that we serve, helping them to become self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. First State Community Action Agency is a hand up, not a handout. So thank you so much for all that you do.
Thank you very much for all you and your organization does.
Yes,
appreciate
I
that.
Agree.
Mr. Godwin.